This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. On Saturday, San Antonio goes back to the polls. There's a city election, and some races are quite a bit hotter than others. We're going to be talking about the elections and the issues behind the campaigns. We want to hear from you. Let us know what you're watching in the city council elections, the election for mayor. The number to call is 614-8980. Have you been satisfied with the news coverage that you've gotten about the elections? Do you think that maybe some candidates have been picked on? Definitely give us a call. The number is 614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. Go to the comments section on our website at tpr.org as well, or send us a tweet on Twitter. We've assembled a panel of expert journalists to talk about the elections. We've got Ryan Lloyd, our correspondent here for Texas Public Radio, covering the city and San Antonio on the elections, Gilbert Garcia of the Express News, and Callie Inlow of the San Antonio Current. And this is the first time you've joined us on KSTX, right, Callie?
That's true.
Because you're brand new.
Happy to be here. Yeah,
all right. Thanks. Well, welcome everyone and welcome to The Source.
Thanks for having us, Dave.
All right. So let's talk about the elections. We'll try and gauge the level of intensity about these elections, because what's the turnout been like? Ryan, you've looked at that.
Yeah, the Bexar County Elections Office has reported 33,070 people have voted early in this election, and we have 876,000, more than that, voters in Bexar County. That equals about 3.7%. So, as expected, very low turnout.
Right. But you know, without a really exciting mayoral race, really hard to get a groundswell of people itching to go to the polls. But we've had a couple of races where they've been pretty intense. You know, specifically, I would guess like District 8 and District 5. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of action there. So Gilbert, how are we seeing, you know, in those areas a lot of interest and activity?
I think we've seen some there. One of the things that I was thinking about this week with the low turnout, again, seeing low turnout this year, is, you know, the argument we heard for a long time when we had these strict term limits from 1991 on was, you know, voter interest would be so much higher if people got to know their council members, if they were able to stay longer and they became more familiar to voters. And in looking at this year's race, it almost looks like the opposite is true, because we would have had an open mayor seat and we would have had five other council races that would have been open this year under the old system. But as this year, we only have one open seat, and that's District 8, one of the ones you referred to, where we've seen Rolando Briones, who's an engineering consultant, and Ron Nirenberg, associate manager of KRTU, really going at it. And I think that's been...
And there's a third candidate in there, Mr. Kieber.
Right.
And so, and yes, and all three of them have been pretty active.
That's right. And I think, and that seat is open only because Reed Williams, the incumbent, decided not to seek a third term. And he has endorsed Rolando Briones. And Rolando Briones has gotten, I think the two things that surprised me about that race are that Ron Nirenberg, who said he was going to run a very positive campaign, has gotten pretty negative, and he even kind of hijacked a website domain.
Well, hijack is a strong word.
Okay, well, you know.
So
he appropriated.
He legitimately he was able to acquire that
true
web address, as could anyone.
That is true. I think it was a somewhat surprising move, given the kind of race that he you know talked about running. Although I think the points that were made on that site Rolando had been disingenuous when he had been telling voters that he was a staunch Republican. I think that those points the points that Ron Nirenberg made were accurate, which is that Rolando has a history of actually supporting more Democrats.
And what tipped Reed Williams over the mark to support Rolando Briones was a mailer that had come from the Ron Nirenberg campaign, and the mailer had said a bunch of stuff. I guess, you know, and as Gilbert said, you know, maybe truth, but said, you know, this is a little bit negative, and so I don't think that, you know, I didn't want this to be the spirit of this race, and so I'm going to go ahead and put my support behind Rolando.
Right. So I would definitely say that Ron Nirenberg, based on what you said just now, and tipping Reed Williams over the edge and putting up that website, have been two big missteps strategically
right.
by Nirenberg in the way he ran the campaign.
I think that's right. I think Briones is big.
And
mistake.
Then even after it was pointed out, mm-hmm. and he kind of walked away from that website, he could have taken it down at any time, mm-hmm. but never did. It's still up.
Yeah, well, he said, I think he announced recently that he was going to.
Did he? Okay.
But I haven't checked to see if it's still up. But I think he announced recently. But I think the big mistake Briones has made is that, you know, there's obviously been a lot of tough coverage of him on his history at Saws. And I think that he made a mistake when he just didn't come forward and say, you know, for the listeners who are not familiar, he was, you know, he worked at Saws and was let go 11 years ago. And the issue had to do with he supposedly received gifts from a vendor. And I think he's kind of tried to relitigate that and sort of say it wasn't as bad. It was, and he just had a difference of opinion with the leadership there, and it's sort of invited a lot of negative coverage looking at what the truth was. And I think if he had just come out early and said he made some mistakes, that was 11 years ago, and moved on, he probably would have been in better shape.
Right. Well, it really casts doubt on you know, his awareness of conflict of interest, right? And that's, of course, even without him in this race, that's been a huge issue lately at City Hall. So I think that there's even more awareness around that. And so that combined with his, you know, previous missteps could be kind of troublesome for him.
So Callie, I mean, you're kind of a newcomer to San Antonio, or you've been in and been out, right? Or
I've been here for 4 years.
Okay, all
so
right.
So in San Antonio terms, yeah, I'm new.
Right? Okay, all right. But I thought because you've just taken over as editor mm-hmm, of the
right.
San Antonio Current, but you've been here for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So, but does it seem kind of that we're this is this sort of petty politics? We're not really talking about the issues that matter to San Antonio.
Well, I mean, I think that that's kind of almost any race that you get into. At a certain point, it perhaps devolves, as we've seen this race between Nuremberg and Briones devolve. But you can also look at District 3 and District 5 for some similar kind of petty accusations against the sitting council member and also against the challengers. So.
Yeah, I'd like to point out that in, you know, races like District 5, over the past month, you've seen a ton of activity from these campaigns or from these candidates. They're hosting, you know, free parties in the park. And
are you talking about like the city council?
Yeah.
The incumbents.
Yeah, the incumbents like David Medina in District 5. You know, he's going to have a movie night or something on Friday night. And, mm-hmm. you know, they're trying to spark all this
and
activity.
These are events that are sponsored by his office.
These are city-funded events, yeah, absolutely.
But I guess coming off as, yeah, these are free, come down and enjoy an event. But, you know, they're trying to spark a whole lot of activity and try to get, you know, interest in them as a candidate and their campaigns. But
that's not an actual violation.
Right, no, I'm not saying it's a violation.
But it is curious to see
yeah.
how they definitely have been using whatever right. Access they have to promote themselves with their city office just as they're running for re-election, and gosh darn it, doesn't that just you know turn your milk sour?
Yeah,
you know?
Medina is a candidate with pretty much the most number of contestants or opponents in the race, aside from the mayor's race. But you know, it's just interesting to see how they're trying to ramp up their appearance and
well,
visibility.
Okay, well, we're going to go take a break.
Okay.
We got calls to take. The number to call to join the conversation, talk about the city council election, 614-8980. Saturday's the big day. Are you happy with the coverage, the candidates, the issues, or not? Call us. Let us know. This is The Source on KSTX. And this is The Source on KSTX. The number to call to join the conversation is 614-8980. We definitely want to hear from you. Also, we are in pledge drive. So, and Ryan, what's the number for that? I don't remember.
1-800-622-8977.
Okay, so we're still in pledge drive. We can sign up your pets and inanimate objects, anything like that. All right, so we do have a phone call, and if you want to join the conversation, it's 614-8980. We have a caller named Rhett on the air, and Rhett, you're on The Source. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, thanks for taking my call, and I'm glad you're covering this today. I'm concerned that I think the some of the political interest in the community have been suppressing because they want to keep the incumbents in office.
The incumbent meaning the mayor?
The mayor and the city council.
So all the incumbents.
Supporting. Sure. In other words, if you don't have, you know, much interest or much news coverage, it's going to be obvious that the incumbents are going to have an advantage. And I was pointing out pre-K for SA or the ethics ordinance or the streetcar, all these are projects that are people really care about, and there was a lot of interest, and they're upset about this mayor and this city council, and these are issues that can change the election. You already pointed out how low the voter turnout is.
All right. So, well, let me ask you a question, Rhett, real quick. Do you happen to – there is a candidate named Rhett who's Smith.
That's me.
That is you. So you are one of our perennial candidates, and you are running against the mayor.
Correct, yes.
Okay, so – and why are you running against the mayor? Why are you running for mayor?
Because I feel very strongly that this mayor has not shown the courage that we expected. He does not stand up against the boards, the water board, the electric board. He does not stand up against the governor when it comes to child abuse, when it comes to education issues. Pre-K for SA is a cop-out, and I don't think it really accomplishes what you want to do when you're talking about a whole range of child abuse and poor education in our state.
All right, well, Rhett, thank you very much for calling. We appreciate that. So he brings up pre-K for SA, definitely something that barely passed in the November election. Do you think that that's on the mind of many of our voters when they go to the polls on Saturday, Gilbert?
I think in District 8, it's an issue. I think, you know, District 8 has generally been it's kind of a swing district. It's fairly conservative, but you know, we've seen Democrats, even though it's a nonpartisan council that we have, we've seen, you know, some Democrats get in there. But I think that Rolando Briones has made a big issue of the fact that he opposed pre-K. Ron Nirenberg supported it. And I think that it's been somewhat, even though, you know, it's already been decided and it's going to be implemented, I think that it's been a bit of a wedge issue in District 8.
Well, it hasn't been like that Rolando Briones has run very much against pre-K for SA. He's like, there's no doubt about it. But Ron is more like, well, I'm not really sure. I'm not really for it. It's not a full-throated embrace.
Well, he didn't come out and say personally he was for it.
Yeah, but it's somewhat nuanced. And I think he's generally pretty nuanced on every issue.
Okay. And so how else do you think pre-K for SA? I mean, in the mayor's, you know, he's running. I mean, there are several candidates. What is it, six against him or something? Mm-hmm. There's like a lot of different names.
That's
here.
Right.
Against the mayor, none of them really strong candidates. No one expects the mayor to not be reelected, right?
That's right. Oh well, it'll be easy. And you know, I think the pre-K for those who support the mayor, it's symbolic of you know what they like about him. The fact that, you know, he has kind of gone beyond what the typical role of the mayor would be in the city, and trying to address what he considers to be a big problem. And for people who don't like him, I mean, they and this is particularly on the north side, you have people who see it as an example of him.
Right. So Callie,
big government.
So should we be looking at, you know, district by district or precinct by precinct as at the returns and seeing comparing them to 2 years ago when the mayor ran for reelection, did so well that there may be some people who are turned off onto the mayor now?
You know, yeah, I mean, I think that pre-K for SA was a really gutsy move, and, you know, that it passed.
And since being the keynote speaker at the mm-hmm. Democratic National Convention, you know, the mask is off, or all pretension of being a mask. I mean, he is a full out there Democrat.
Exactly. I mean, there are some people
a national figure.
I think that there's a feeling among some people in the city that some of these really big, gutsy moves on the part of the mayor and on the part of the city council are a strategic move to give him a little bit more national prominence. And that actually, it's a cynical view, and people who are inclined to take it are probably a little bit inclined to not support Mayor Castro as much as they might have a couple years ago.
I mean, there are a lot of people who are just, they don't like the Obama administration no matter what. And they see anytime you can vote against anything related to President Obama, they're going to take that opportunity. And they see Mayor Castro, because of his connection to the Democratic National Party, that, hey, it's another opportunity to vote against Obama when you vote against Mayor Castro. I mean, is that a good assessment,
yeah,
Gilbert?
Yeah, and if you're a local Republican, you know, you might have 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you might have opposed Mayor Castro on particular issues. Now, opposing him means possibly trying to stop his ascension as a Democratic figure statewide, and maybe even a national Democratic figure. So I think if there's calculation, there's probably more calculation on the Republican side, which is like, let's make things a little bit difficult for him because we want to stop his momentum before he gets in a position where he might be running for governor or something like that.
Right. And so do you think that that might have been behind Rolando Briones' fundraising efforts in District 8?
Yeah, I think there's something to that. I mean, what's your take as far as the
explain what you mean? You mean like the high volume?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Like so he's been able to pull raised in a lot quite of money. Bit of money,
and right? He's also put in quite a bit of his own money too. Yeah. I think yeah.
And he's been able to buy ads on newscasts at 10 o'clock on our major local channels. That is not cheap, and it's basically a rare occurrence for a district race.
It is, and you know, District 8 is a little bit unusual. I mean, we've had elections where, you know, in other districts we might have 4,000 people turn up, and we'll have 11,000 in District 8. I'm not saying that would be the case this year, but it generally has bigger turnout. It's very engaged. Like I said, it's a swing district, and I think it's a position of maybe somewhat unique. I think District 1 is like this. District 8 is like that, where there's a certain prominence that comes with that seat. And I think Reed Williams, I mean, people talk a lot about him maybe seeking.
Well, we talked about pre-K for SA. Do you think that the streetcar project has that same sort of radioactivity to it? I mean, are people thinking about that at all? We're going to be talking about streetcars in the next half hour, so I bring it up now to tap into your expertise. Are people over streetcars now? We pretty much realize it's going to be a deal, or what do you think?
Well, I mean, I think it's definitely a partisan, you know, line in the sand. You know, people who are against it are generally the conservative folks in town, and you know, the VIA is really rolling ahead. Just you know, they're making the plans as if it already will, you know, be in place.
Well, everything is in place.
I right.
mean, there's no more obstacles to make it happen. They're moving forward with it, but you know, there's certainly you're seeing folks who are in the conservative camp who have definitely are trying to make it an issue and lump it into Mayor Castro and saying it's part of his liberal agenda and so that this is something else that they pin to him and hopefully try and prevent his further upward ascension in politics.
Yeah, and it's a north side, south side thing. And I think it's basically the mayor saying the city is we want to maybe help make some efforts to mold the city to help it maybe change shape somewhat, and then you have people on the north side saying, "Well, this is the reality. The north side's growing. We're the ones with needs." So it's that tension that's been there for a while.
So there's a lot to follow. We've got to wrap this up. I want to thank all of you guys for joining us here. Ryan Lloyd for Texas Public Radio News, Gilbert Garcia, the San Jose Express News columnist now on the pay site expressnews.com, and Callie Inlow, the editor of the San Antonio Current. In the next half hour, we're going to be talking about the streetcar situation in San Antonio, where the streetcars will go. There's still some it's up in the air where the tracks will be laid. You're listening to The Source on KSTX, and we'll be right back after this pledge break and after NPR News.